First of all, I would like to welcome our visitors, your honored guests, as it has been mentioned. If it's any way possible that after worship service, you might stay around a little while so we might get to know you, meet and greet you. And if there's any kind of way that we can serve you, make it known to us and we'll serve you to the best of our ability. Because serving you, we serve our God, and we love serving God here. Amen. God has blessed each and every one of us with another day of life, and we should be thankful. Some people went to bed last night, and they had plans to wake up this morning. They didn't wake up. Some people had plans today for this evening, and they won't make those plans. So we should be thankful that God has blessed us with another day. I always have this saying, above ground is a great day. And if you don't believe that, miss one. And then another saying that I have is better be greeted than to be viewed. Amen. So God has been good to each and every one of us, and we should see and recognize his goodness and his kindness that he has shown to us abundantly. Because God has been better to us than we have been to ourselves. So it is with my humble experience this day that I can say something that would encourage us to hold on to God and to focus more on him and his word and what he can do for us in our lives. If you don't mind, could you turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, verse we're going to read. Just Mark chapter 5, follow along with me, please. The Bible says, then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Galileans. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling amongst the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Then he saw Jesus from afar and ran and worshiped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. For he said to him, come out of this man, unclean spirit. And then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. Now, a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. And at once, Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There was about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled, and they told it in the city and in the country. And they went all out to see what had happened. When they came back to Jesus, they saw the one who had the unclean that had been possessed by the demons and the legions. The demon-possessed man and the legion, sitting there clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed, and all about the swine. Then they begged to plead with him to depart from the region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not prevent him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you, on us, on him, on us. Hello? God is good. God is good, and he has compassion on us just like he had compassion on this young man. Quick story. Last week, Captain and I was in Austin, Texas, and we had an enjoyable time, and you know that we went and watched the NCAA track meet, and Darius, I have to mention, Darius placed seventh place in the track meet, you know, amen, and he became All-American, and everything was good. The day that we left Austin, Texas, we was in a location called Pflugerville. Well, anyway, it's about 25 miles away from Austin, Texas. And the day that we left, I had mentioned this in my deliverance earlier this week to the Bible class, that Kathy's cousin got a tornado warning, a tornado watch. And I said, whoa, tornado. You know, we live in California. We see earthquakes, but tornadoes, you know, you can actually see the skies changing. You know, it's horrifying. You know, we got in our car to leave, we seen the skies changing. We seen lightning and thunder, not like this. Terrifying, the wind started blowing. So we was driving, and I was looking in my rearview mirrors, and I seen the storm behind us. And I said, oh, Lord, please help us get to the airport. So as we were driving, the winds seemed like they was chasing us. It was surrounding us. And it got real horrified, you know, real terrified. We was just sitting in the car, and I had to stop to get some gas to put in the car, in the rental car. So I stopped, and I was, wind was blowing. You know, I got the gas. And I got in the car, and I hurried up, and the wind started blowing harder. And then we got to the rental car place, drove up. I missed the turn. I had to go back around, and, oh, boy, I was nervous. Went down the runway street. I said, oh, no. Truth. You know, and we got to the rental car place. I parked the car. They took it, and I couldn't get the bags out the car good fast enough to be able to get into the airport. So we signed out. It was a walking space from the building of the car rental place to the airport building. It was like a wind tunnel that we went through, and it started raining real hard, and the wind was blowing. And we was carrying our bags trying to get to the airport. And I said, oh, Lord, please. So we got inside the building, got situated. We had a big delay. But I'm standing there looking at all of this stuff out in the airport window, just looking at all of this, and I was thinking, boy, God is powerful. You know, all this stuff happening. I said, wow. And then I started thinking about Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 33, when Jesus was in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, and a big storm came up, and Jesus was in the boat, and the disciples was horrified, and they said, are you going to let us drown? What's going on? So Jesus got up, rebuked the wind. He said, peace be still. And the winds and the waves stopped. And I was standing, I said, that's amazing. God has a lot of power, a lot of magnificent things going on there. And it brought me to this story about this demon-possessed man, that this man, soon Jesus got out the boat. This man ran to Jesus and worshiped him. I mean, how the guy got his condition, life's troubles and life's problems and stuff, maybe with the interjection with alcohol, drugs, or whatever else, caused this man to be a wild animal, a wild beast. And then the demons didn't help the man in his life, because he lived amongst these tombs. And he wandered around, and they said that this man, nobody could hold him, restrain him with chains, he would break the chains with his feet and his hands, and nobody could see. So they ran him out the village. People don't want people around them that acting wild. So this man lived amongst the tombs. So he ran and worshiped Jesus, fell down. Now, I'm thinking about that, and I'm saying, now this wild man, he probably was getting into that storm that was on the ocean, that was on that lake to Jesus, and he probably seen that boat that was being tossed in, to and fro in the water. And he probably said, yeah, drown, drown. I don't know what the demon would say. All evil spirits will cause evil things to happen or will evil things to happen because they don't have the spirit of God in them. So this man, he had this spirit that was tormenting him, but this man had some goodness in him somewhere because he seen Jesus and he came down and worshiped Jesus. So he's standing there looking at all of this stuff that's happening. And when he came and worshiped Jesus, he recognized and identified Jesus as the Son of God. He said, the Son of the Most High. So he knew that Jesus had some type of power. Power probably could save him. So he humbled himself, went to Jesus. He said he worshiped him. How do you worship Jesus? You give him honor, glory. You give him the praise that he deserved. Right? Amen? You give him the honor and the glory and the praise that he has. Hey, Jesus, you're good. I seen what you did. I love what you did. Now you can help me. Help me. Please, Jesus, help me. I'm being tormented by these devils. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. You can help me. Please. So the story goes that Jesus says, come out of this man, demons. Come on out of him. And the demons came out of Jesus. Now, it said it was about 2,000 of these demons. He said his name was Legion. Now, a Roman soldier of galaxy is like 6,000 men. But he said, I'm Legion. But then it said it was 2,000 pigs or swine that was on the side of the hill that was grazing. The demons went out and went into the pigs. And it says the pigs ran violently down the steep embankment and drowned in the ocean. These pigs didn't want nothing to do with those demons. Now, we as men are created in God's image. We have this instinct that God is the creator of all. Those pigs don't have control over nothing that they have. They're pigs. But we are created in the image of God so we can make decisions. We can make real decisions. The pigs just, these demons and men running, they just, I went down here because they didn't have the Spirit of God. Are everybody with me? Everybody with me? Am I up here acting like a wild man? That's okay, but it's a story. So let it be. But they ran down and drowned in the water. But the men became clean because of the power of God. And it says that this man, well, when the countrymen that was watching the pig pigs went away and told everything that happened in the countryside and city, the people that came out that owned the pig came back, told Jesus to get out the countryside. Well, I could kind of understand that because the pigs probably was the men's possession, and they probably made money and they lost financially on the pigs. 2,000 pigs was brought a lot of money, so they get out of here. But they didn't see a blessing that Jesus had because that man sitting there clothed in his right mind. A blessing that Jesus had gave the individual. But they was more concerned about what they could have and what they could do. But Jesus demonstrated his authority and his power over evil spirits. But the man just willingly let him experience that. There's nothing too powerful for Jesus to do or for God to do. Okay. When the man was clothed in his right mind, he was sitting there calm, just like that sea was calm. Peace be still. When we sit calmly and draw near to God, he will draw near to us. If we listen to God in our prayers and in our thoughts, in our pattern of life, that we humble ourselves down with him and say, please, Lord, help me, he would hear us and he would help us. We would have that peace that we need. When we have troubles and tribulations and trials in our life, we be still, he will listen. But it takes time for us to understand and to learn that, because we are humans. We are engulfed and surrounded by all of this stuff that we call life. Every day it's certain things that happen that kind of like brings us down, and then we go up, and then we brings us down, and sometimes we stay down because of life and its problems and the situation that goes on. But we try to be even in our life and understand things and understand things the way there is, way it is. But these men tried to get rid of Jesus. And the demon man, the demon-possessed man, what did he do? He came to Jesus when he got into the boat and begged him, said, can I go with you? I don't blame him. You saved me from these demons. Jesus, you got something that I want. Jesus has something that we need. Thank you. Amen. He has a lot what we need, a lot of what we need. That man recognized it, and he wanted to go with Jesus, but he said, no, don't go with us. Jesus had a different mission for that man. It says, go home. Get my glasses. Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on you. He said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had passion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. Jesus told him to go. That sounds like a mission. To go. To proclaim what Jesus had done for him. The gospel, Jesus hadn't died on that cross yet, but that demon-possessed man could go and tell him how God had mercy on him, how he had compassion for him, and how he delivered him from the swine, from the demons, which is a good thing, amen? I mean, because that was his mission, and they say he went off and proclaimed the word of God. We too have a mission. We need to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christians need to proclaim the word. I'll tell you a story. There's a story about this young man that lived a life. He was similar to this demon-possessed man, but he didn't have the demons, I believe. There were no demons, but he would act wild and untamed, and he would go to places and cut himself using different things for enjoyment and getting in situations where he wasn't beneficial for him. He was messing around with that little red button, you know, it has a cap on it, and you take it off and you push, boom, self-destruct. Messing around with the self-destruct button. You guys with me? You know, we might know people who live like that. Drugs, alcohol, and indulge in all kinds of stuff. Did things that he wasn't proud of. I tell you today, that man stands before you, clothed in his right mind, counting on Jesus to help him through his life, and blessing that comes with it is always something that God provides for you. So as I stand here today, I reflect back on my life and the things that I have done and how Jesus came. So I'm here today to tell you to go home to your friends and tell them what great things God has done for you and how he had mercy on you, just like he had mercy on me. He had mercy on all of us. So we should proclaim the word of God. You know, it's really interesting that when you do a lesson, it's a humbling experience, because the word of God, it pricks you in such a way that you have to look at yourself. And you can't get up in front of somebody else trying to proclaim the word, and you might be filthy and dirty yourself. But God cleanse you and keep you going. The passage that was read from, and I apologize to my brother Pete for that passage that he had read. Proverbs chapter 12, but it was actually Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 11. And the great wise Solomon says, "The words of the wise are like goads. Their collective sayings are like firmly established nails driven by one shepherd." Goads, you guys know what goads are? Or prods, cattle prods? Well, anyway, I'm going to let you know in case you don't know. Okay, a goad or a cattle prod is a tool that's used for training. Okay, training a young ox. When they get a young ox to hook up to a plow, they use this long pole with a sharp object on the end of it, and they want this animal to go. They say, "Yeah!" And they stab, they stick a bit. Ah! You know, so if he kicks back, it's going to hurt him. So what he ended up doing, hurting himself. So when his foreman said, "Yeah!" he goes. If he don't go, he pokes him. So he trains him by this, and pretty soon the animal learned not to kick back or not to move to go forward. It's just like a bit in a horse's mouth. Got a bit in there. He wants the rider wants him to go to the right. He pulls it. Wants him to go to the left. He pulls it this way. Wants him to stop. He pulls it this way. He say, "Giddy up!" And he goes. He's remembering that word, and he remembered that prod. So it pushes him to learn. I remember being a kid. My parents pushed me in a certain way when I was disobedient. A little different from the kids these days. A parent would tell the kids to go stand in the corner. My parents would tell me to go stand in the corner, and I'd have my pants down. It's a difference, but the same principle, right? And I would have a prod or a stick. Okay, I learned. It didn't take long. It did not take long. Pushing against the goad. I'm not going to push against my parents. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents because it is good for you, and you will have a long life, and God will bless you in your life. Obey them. Mind them. Sometimes it's not easy, kids. I know. But you have to obey them because it's for your own good, because you're kicking against. So we don't want to be kicking against God, because he is our great shepherd. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me lie down in green pastures." And I better find this before I misquote it. I know it, but out of my mind. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies, and you anoint my head with oil. My cup run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, it says, "Remember your creator in your youth before the days get rough and hard." Those rough days that we might have got poked and pushed and stuff, they serve as a reminder of things that we did in our life that we need to move forward and rely on the creator, on God Almighty. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He takes care of us like the sheep, like the shepherd takes care of the sheep." And when we need a little poke, that staff is there for a reason. You got a gentle part of the staff that he can move you gently, or he got a poking one that will give you a shove. So we have to remember him, because in our lives we have different situations that follow us in the life, and we have to be strong enough and dependent enough on God to rely on him to get us out of those situations, or to comfort us when we are in situations that we can't get out, that's out of our control. It might be financial problems, might be health problems. It's a lot of health problems. It's a lot of prayers out there that need to be directed. because of all the sickness and stuff. So the only thing we can do is hold on to the Lord and serve him the best of our ability. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end is death. That means that men make a decision to go certain ways. Men make a decision that's out of the realm of God. I am happy and I'm thankful that that demon-possessed man seen the way that he could be cured. And I am thankful and blessed to know that God has blessed me in my life, that I could be out of the situation that I was in because I was washed and cleansed and I repented of my sins and moved forward in life. So we have to move forward in the life when something happened to us and that we cannot change. But God is a God that's full of change. He will change us in our lives. He will bless us in our actions and in our way in our lives. But he says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. But there are few who find it. You got two type of people. You got two roads. You got two gates. You got two destinations. Really one decision, go to God or not. If you follow the wide road, you're going to go with the majority of people who see glamour and beauty and big buildings and just things that attract our eyes. And that might lead you down to destruction, where it says it will lead you down to destruction if it's in the wrong place. You know why people go there? It's easy. Oh, yeah, I've got room. But it said enter through the narrow gate. Got to squeeze. I got to take some stuff off to get in there. I got to strip down. But I got to make it through it. But it says even though you strip down and you before the Lord naked, some of us still don't make it, or some people don't make it. You have to be humble. You have to keep on driving, because God will said he's the great shepherd. He will give you that peace. He will give you that rest. But you have to strip down. And he would help us. Stripping down is hard because we have to look at ourselves. And sometimes we don't want to give up stuff. But that what we don't want to give up might be detrimental to our health or to our lives. But we must give it up in order to keep on pushing and striving. Some things in our life are difficult to let go. But we have to let go and let God. Strip down and let God. Be the servant of God that you need to be. And he will reward you in this life, and he will reward you in the life to come. When we live our lives and we say the last amens, our hands are folded. Like my brother Fred prayed yesterday. Great man. Had his funeral yesterday. Great man. Great example. Humble servant, always looking to evangelize, always looking, he don't look at people as people, he look at people as souls. You hear me? He look at people's souls, and he see everybody have a soul, and he want to reach out there and tell them the good news about Jesus. That's what we need to do. That's what this demon-possessed man did. That's what this demon-possessed man is trying to do. Not demon possessed, nothing, but you gotta give me a little theatric, what can I say? But anyway, I'm serious. X. So that's what I try to do, and I learned after him, and I need to get busy in there. We need to get busy. We need to go and not sit. We need to or bring in some kind of way. But God has been good to each and every one of us, so he can change our life. But we have to go and strip ourselves and go to that narrow way. He can change your life. If you want your life changed, but God is the one that can change it. You have to hear the gospel, which is found in Acts chapter 15, verse 7. You have to believe in Jesus, John 18, 21 and 24. Believe that he came down and suffered on the cross and died for the remission of sins. And we all know what sins are, right? It's not, what is sin? missing the mark, God's mark. Not our own mark, not the boundaries that we set, but God's mark. And I had heard it said you draw a bullseye, you shoot it right in that spot, some people move it out the way, and then they shoot it over here. But that mark right there is God's mark, and that's the one we aim for. This one is a float mark right here. And that's obsolete, and that won't get you nowhere, but where these demons have went wrong. Those demons have a reward that they have, and it's going to be in fire and sulfur instead of water and rocks. That's where those demons are going to end up when God come back and collect his people. We want to hit that mark that God has set. And the only way we're going to do that is get poked a little bit. Because he will poke you, but we have to be honest. We have to be sincere. And he will poke us. I tell you, he'll poke you. I've been poked trying to get this lesson. Beat me up. I tell you, it's a humbling experience doing this stuff. So we have to confess Jesus as Christ, Acts 8, 36 and 38. And then we have to be baptized. Jesus had the power to drive out that demon by word. He had the power to drive up, to calm the storm by word. But we have, in our era, Christian era, when Jesus died, and before he descended up on the clouds in heaven, he gave marching orders to us. He said, go into all the world and teach the gospel. Baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. And he said, I'll be with you always, even to the very end of time. That's our marching orders, to teach, to baptize. So if you haven't been baptized and you have, you heard the gospel, Jesus came now, we can baptize you tonight. But if you have any question pertaining to baptism and why you should, talk to me afterwards, and I will be gladly willing to talk to you about it. And even I can set up a class for you and discuss it and show you the scriptures to get more in depth. But we all need prayers in our life. So I know that if anyone in this audience that have a prayer request, you can make it known, and we will pray for you and ask God to help you and guide you in whatever situation you are in or whatever that you need to God to fix for you, because he's in the fixing business. He won't fix things right away, but he will fix it. Or he'll give us enough rope that we can see that he's alive and willing to help us. So whatever your decision that you have today, any kind of way that we can help you, please make it known to us as together we stand and sing this invitation song.